Good morning, everyone. Welcome to EMP. If we can just bow our heads and open in a prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for the weather, Lord, and that we can gather together here to pray as a church in Hong Kong, Lord. I just pray that this morning the words that come out of my mouth will be pleasing to you. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we can now turn to the screen to go have a look at the Lent video that will be screening.
What he reads is that he has come to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. Now, I saw this in Paraguay. My wife and I were there, and in Paraguay they have the Guarani Audio Bible. They gave it to the chaplain, who gave it to one of the prisoners. And as he played it aloud in the prison, many came to faith in Christ. They went to the head of the prison and asked for a portion of the prison that they could, as Christians, make their own. He gave them the most violent, the most disgusting, where blood was on the walls from murders. They went in, they cleaned it up, and they made it a part of the prison, a Christian community. Every day when they wake up, they listen to a half hour of scripture. They spend a half hour meditating on it. They go to breakfast, come back, clean their cells. Then they gather to discuss it for a half hour. When I went, they had over 500 of the prisoners that were living in that section. And when you walked in, you saw and went past the ugliness and the violence and the dirt and filth in one part of the prison. When you entered the Christian part, it was clean, it was beautiful, there was peace. And my son made the comment, "Dad, you can see clearly darkness and light." They broadcast it for the whole prison to hear, and as others come to faith in Christ, the prisoners on the Christian side meet with them for 6 weeks to disciple them and make sure that they're actually serious in their faith before they're invited in. So, freedom to the prisoners is happening as God's word is heard.
Amen. And if we can turn to your app or your Bible, if you open up your app, we are going through day 8 of the Lent reading. So let's start with the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 14 to 30. Chapter 4, verse 14 to 30. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. And none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. And the second scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 23 to 37. Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 23 to 37. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, sit by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So if you can go down a little bit to the devotion reading. Love him or hate him, Jesus certainly elicits a response. It was true in the synagogue as Luke records, and it is equally true today. In verse 22, we are told, all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words. But only a few moments later, he brings out a different response. They rose up and drove him out of the town so they could throw him down the cliff. How quickly things change. So to resolve personally to accept Jesus' teaching no matter what is to ensure that you don't reject him when he guides you in ways you don't like. A fickle heart will love him now, but run from him later. Choose to embrace both what you like and what you don't. Let's scroll down a bit further and pray together in one voice. Father, we pray for the disabled in our city and those who care for them. Take away the stigma of disablement and make us into a more accepting society. Amen. So my personal devotion here today is, if you scroll all the way to the top of that app page, the header for today is No Matter What. Referring to the call to accept Jesus' teaching no matter what, to follow him no matter what, to love him no matter what. And many times we pray that prayer, right? We give thanks. We ask for the power to be able to follow him no matter what. And it's spoken so easily sometimes. But I wonder if we understand what no matter what means. And we know that that is Jesus' heart for us. That is God's heart for us. It's like the song that we sing, we have a maker. You know, he'll never leave us no matter where I go. But I want to change the direction of the devotional a little bit. And of course, we definitely have the best intentions to follow Jesus, you know, and that's why we pray that prayer. We want to follow him until we don't. And you know who has been exhibit A in this very common story? It's Peter. You know, he was so confident in his loyalty to Jesus. Simon Peter, he answered when he was asked, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, he took, Peter took Jesus aside when Jesus told of his impending death, and rebuked him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you." And after, in Matthew 26:33, it's a verse that we are very familiar with, says, "But Peter said to him, 'Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly I say to you, that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same thing. In another verse, Peter says, 'Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death.' Go, Peter." So, you know, it is a good thing that we have the best of intentions. But I think we also have to be self-aware and mindful that it could happen to any of us. You can be at a good place now, you know, you're like, "I had crazy days back in college, but quote-unquote, I'm all redeemed. I go to church, I'm here at EMP right now. I'm good. But we should always be mindful, always be on the alert, and give thanks that God has kept us by his side. You know, Peter gets made fun of a lot for his denial of Jesus. But despite what and how we may feel today, we really have no idea what we will face tomorrow. And whether that something might end up being our tipping point, the way that it was for Peter, that causes us to move away from God. And for this very reason, we should just remain hopeful without being too presumptuous. Because we all know what happened with Peter. And so who knows what our tipping point is. And, you know, in that same way, we have people around us who could be fickle, who come to church only when they feel like it, who might not like what we have to tell them. I bought this little comic strip thing when we were on a holiday, and it's two pigeons sitting in the background of New York, and it's one pigeon saying to the other, "I'd love to agree with you, but we'd both be wrong." And I give that to P. Sam. And as regular members, we get frustrated. We feel like we get taken advantage of. We run out of steam following up with people. And I know I'm guilty of it, you know. And we love it when members are on the ball. They're active and they're committed. And it makes it so easy to embrace them. But can we accept those who are fickle? Can we walk alongside them through their tipping point, or do we just let them slip away? So let me go back to Peter's redemption story. And my favorite part of that is I love the idea that Jesus cooks. You know, he's on the beach, on the sand, and Peter comes running to him, and he finds Jesus cooking. And like many of us, I think one of Jesus' love language is cooking for the people that he loves. And I love that. And if we go to Luke 22, verse 31, Jesus actually says to Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fall. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Jesus actually prayed that Peter's faith would be strengthened, and when he turned back, that he would encourage other disciples. And for those of us who might be needing a word of encouragement today, that verse essentially tells us that Jesus prays for you and prays for me. And he will never let Satan destroy your faith and bring you to ruin. And you know, that verse, it sounds like something that Jesus said to Peter after the denial, after the betrayal. But this was actually before. You know, you would have thought it's because something happened and then now Jesus, you know, coming after and trying to explain it to Peter. But no, it's actually before the rooster crows. Jesus already knew not just that Peter would deny him, but that Peter would turn back and be a strength to those around him. So this morning, just have a few points for us to think about and meditate on as I invite Pastor Andrew up for worship. You know, first, let's repent for the times that we ourselves have been fickle in our relationship with God. And, you know, secondly, let's repent for judging those that we have deemed fickle without truly understanding their situation. And finally, let's give thanks that Jesus prays for us, that we have an intercessor in him, and that pray for our faith to be strengthened, and that we have the privilege to strengthen and to encourage those around us, even in our weakness.
To you in surrender I must come.
If we can just continue to meditate on today's scripture. Just continue to give thanks that we have Jesus to pray for us, even in our weakness, that he sees the strength, even when we see ourselves as weak, when we see ourselves as not being able to bring much. And pray that we can be an encouragement to those around us. Maybe we can pray and think about if there's anyone that's around us right now that we might have deemed fickle, that we find difficult. If we could just pray for them, and maybe God's speaking to you about how you might reach out to them and be an encouragement to them. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our community that's battling cancer and going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray that during this difficult season, that they're going to draw strength from Jesus. If we can especially lift up Calvin, he went through surgery again yesterday. Just pray that he'll be able to get sleep. He'll be able to take in some food. Next, let's pray for the rest of the community, their friends and their family who's sick but also need the word of salvation. Also pray for our community who's who has infirmities. I know the list looks quite long. Maybe we can pick a name and just really pray for them and intercede for them today. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job right now. Just pray that during this season that they will grow closer to God and that the Lord's going to open doors and that they don't have to worry about provision. Let's go to our Wednesday prayer focus. Let's continue to pray for China, for Pastor Hinsu and Ricky, Pastor Ricky, and also the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, and the churches in our neighborhood. Let's pray for our board. Pray for wisdom and discernment for them. Pray for their family and their work, protection over their health, and also that whatever in their work that they will prosper in their career and their work. Let's also continue to lift up our fellowship ministry, our young adults, with any Yahweh events, our men's ministry with their Monday prayer and pure desire, as well as women's ministry with the women's discipleship course that's going on right now. I think the men's and women's ministry is also in the midst of planning for retreat already, so just lift up the team. Let's continue to pray for SP 2.0, for building and resources for our benefactor and our vision fund. We're currently at SP 1.5, so just continue to pray for that. Let's continue to lift up Alpha. Every Saturday, a meeting. Just pray for the core team as they go about the planning for the guest salvation, any logistics, protection for the volunteers, and protecting everyone's schedule that they'll be able to make it. Let's lift up the house churches meeting today. Blue Pool, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Ventris. I pray for Holy Spirit to be in their midst as they discuss this past Sunday sermon on God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that it will be a very fruitful time for the groups. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning, God. Thank you that we can come together as a church to pray in this season of Lent. Continue to be with us. Be with us as we go about our day today. We give you thanks. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good prayer time.